Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you, team. What a great team. You know what I love about this team and the praise and worship here at Bethel Church Choctaw is we really try to be like nobody else. Not that we over try to be different. It's just that we found that, you know, like I said a couple of weeks ago, our strengths shine in our originality. And I appreciate that we're not trying to be like anybody else. And, you know, we are what we are. And God's been teaching me, you are what you are. You're just what I've called you to be. And the church is what I've called it to be. Bethel is what I've called it to be. And so, you know, we are what we are. And I appreciate that. And there's nothing wrong with that. So we're just going to be at home today. Well, I guess you're literally at home today. But just feel relaxed and feel welcomed with me today. If you love Jesus, raise your hands. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. Okay. So grab you a cup of coffee. Don't slurp if you've got a microphone on. And once again, thank you for joining us today. I'm honored that you would tune in today. And I pray, and we have been praying as a team this morning, that this service, the praise and worship, the greeting, the message would be impactful and actually have some impact on this world and on eternity, and lives would be changed, people would be healed, marriages would be healed. And so we're thankful that you would tune in and honored. So I want to get right into this. I want to begin with a prayer, and I want to pray for this time that God has set aside for us. God, I thank you that you are in here and you are with us in such a powerful way. And I apologize for not always realizing that 24/7. But I thank you, God, that we get to have this time together, and that I believe that your word and your anointing and your spirit will be impactful for everyone that hears this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Speaking of prayer, I want to talk about the Lord's other prayer. That's the title of the sermon today, the Lord's other prayer. Not the Lord's prayer, our Father which art in heaven, but the other prayer. There's a prayer that Jesus prays in John 17. The whole chapter of John is basically the prayer of Jesus. Now, I want to put this in context before we get into studying it. I'm really excited about this. I tell you what, I really am. The thing that God has given to me and shown me, I believe it was definitely for me. I pray it's for you too. But the prayer of Jesus in John 17. So if we go back, I want to put the prayer in context and a timeline for you. How you doing? Is that coffee good? Anybody still drinking coffee? John 17, did you find that in your Bibles? In John 13 is when the disciples join Jesus for the Last Supper. Jesus washes their feet. He talks about how there will be a betrayal. And then he goes into this conversation with the disciples from chapters 14, 15, and 16. It may be the most that we've in one time period that we have of Jesus speaking. But in 14, 15, and 16, he's conversing with his disciples there at the, I assume that the Bible doesn't say that they have left to go anywhere. So they're still there at the Last Supper table, and Jesus is teaching them, just the disciples. And then he goes into this prayer in chapter 17. After this prayer, Jesus and the disciples go to a garden, and that's where Judas betrays him, and the authorities take him away. So now we've got this timeline. So back to the prayer. Begins this way. John 17, 1. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So he's with the disciples. right after the Last Supper, just had a long discussion with him. He goes into this prayer. He prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. And he prays for his future disciples, which is hopefully you and I, his future disciples. In verse 20, Jesus prays these words, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." So he's praying for you and I too. So it makes this prayer very personal. I love that. In this prayer, here's what I found very interesting. In this prayer, I found that Jesus says the word world 18 times. 18 times in one chapter, in one prayer, Jesus says the world. So I became very interested in that, begin to study. What did he mean by the world? What does that mean? And what was he talking about in our relationship with the world and things like that? So let's get into it. The world in this chapter is translated from a Greek word cosmos with a K. It's probably where we get cosmos with a C. Now, this word cosmos in the Greek actually has a pretty broad meaning and a broad use, actually. Kind of like our word does for world. When we say world, it can mean several different things. So what we have to do is look at how Jesus uses this word in a sentence during this time, during this prayer, and we'll get a good idea of what he's talking about. And the first thing I want to do is contrast it with, because sometimes the world can mean like the earth. But in verse 4, he actually says earth. It's translated from a Greek word, ge, and it actually means soil, region, land. It's more like the planet. But in the other parts, when he says the world, I believe that he's talking about something completely different. It's not like a place or a planet. Here's how he used the word world in this prayer. And I want to read 8 examples for you. Jesus was sent into the world. Jesus spoke in the world. The disciples were of the world. The disciples were taken out of the world. The disciples were in the world. The disciples were hated by the world. Jesus prayed, "Don't take them out of the world." And he said, "So the world may believe." And he also said, "So the world has not known God." So we obviously can see from these, because a planet doesn't know someone or love someone or hate someone. So we're not talking about the planet, but we're talking about more a people. Vine's Expository Dictionary has one definition like this. He says this: "The present condition of human affairs in alienation from and opposition to God," or in other words, mankind or human race. So in one of Jesus' last prayers, Jesus mentions mankind 18 times. Now, one of the things that we get from this, a lot of this prayer, and a lot of times that he's saying the world, is that he's saying we're not of the world, we're in the world. And if you've been a Christian amount of time, you've probably heard that phrase. In the world, not of the world. And if we're not careful, that can be one of those Christianese type of words, right? In the world, not of the world. But what does that mean in reality? How do we take that? Here's the examples that he says of our relationship regarding the world, in it, not of it. In verse 6, all of this is in chapter 17. Verse 6, he says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world." 11, "I'm no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you." Verse 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 15, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one." Verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So to summarize, we get this picture. The disciples, or Christians, we came out of the world. We are no longer of the world, but we are still in the world and sent into the world by design. Okay? This was pre-thought. You got that? Now, I ask God to help me understand and relate this truth of being in the world and not of the world. And this is what I've come up with. Are you ready? Here's a book. It's called Church Communications Handbook. And I know what you're thinking. Have you read that book? Maybe. So this book. So what I want to do is I want to take a page from this book, and I want to put it to another use. I have another purpose for it. So I find a page in this book, and see, it was right there. And as gracefully as a guy with a pocket knife can do it, I took that page out because I want to do something else with it, right? So I take this page out, and so I begin to fold it, and I begin to cut it in some ways, and I made a different shape out of it, and I colored it on both sides, and it looks a little bit like this. It looks exactly like this, like that right there. See that? So I colored it, and I've got pictures of my grandbabies on both sides. There's Lincoln right there. There's Mia on that side right there, the cutest two babies in the world ever. And then I laminated it because I got all into this art thing, and I'm not much of a colorer, as you can see, but I had a good idea, right? That's what counts. So I took the page out of the book. I changed it completely. I made it completely mine. It's actually a representation of me. It represents who I am now. But I still use it as a bookmark. So it belongs, it still goes into the book. So it's in the book. It was of the book. But it's no longer of the book because I took it out and I changed it. Come on. Right? It still has a purpose in the book, so I left it there, but it's no longer a part of it. In the world, not of it, we have been created new in the likeness of God. Paul says, a mind like Christ. We're brand new creatures. We've been adopted. We have a new father and a new family. Our whole existence has changed. Right? That's the same thing. That's being in the world, but not being of it. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says this. Paul writes, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Second Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We're all different now. You see, when I am of something, I am subject to the atmosphere of that thing. The laws that govern that thing also govern me. But when I am only in something, my changed DNA causes my atmosphere to be different. The laws that govern me are different than the thing that I am in, as opposed to the thing that I am of. Everybody get up and do a kick with me. Yeah, Ryan, look at you. Man, that gets me excited. That makes me want to preach like that God does. Yes. Take hold of the hand. Gracious sakes. The laws that govern the thing that I was of, but am no longer of, I'm just in, doesn't pertain to me. For instance, if I stick this book in a bucket of water and leave it for 15 minutes, and I take the book out, this book may be ruined. Maybe if the ink has bled over, and it may tear easy, and it may forever be wrinkly. But this, I have changed it. It's nothing like the paper and the cardboard of the book. I laminated it and colored it, and it's different, and it will just dry, and it will be the same. And it'll last forever and ever. In my life, right? Isn't that exciting? John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. This bookmark has been so changed that the use and the condition of this book is not a factor on the use and the condition of the bookmark. You getting me? An entirely new makeup. 1 Peter 2:10, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 John 4:4, you are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are of God. Hallelujah. Let that sink in. Think about that. Think about it. Leave them there, he said. John 17:15. Jesus says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Even though the world will hate them, don't take them out. You see, we may be new creatures, and we may be no longer of this world, but we are not to abandon the world. We are not to escape the world, but we are to win it. God told me something else. He said, you know, the shield of faith. And I said, yes, the one that quenches the fiery darts. He said, the shield of faith isn't for you to dodge the fiery darts. It's to quench it. You take it and quench it. It destroys it. If you dodge it, it may hit somebody else. We don't dodge. We face it and we take it and we quench it. When this world brings us stuff that doesn't look right, doesn't feel good, we take it as Christians. William Barclay says this, Christianity does not offer us a life in which troubles are escaped or evaded, but it offers us a life in which troubles are faced and conquered. As a matter of fact, I believe that it's even more important to live a radical Christian life when you are facing your most difficult times. That's when we experience more growth. That's when we experience most blessings. And that's when we are the biggest influence for the world. Because whatever you're doing, when everything is going great, people are like, well, you know, no big deal. I could do that. But when things look terrible and things are looking down, it's bad. And you're still praising God and you're still serving him, that's pretty impactful for the world. It's when you face epic battles that appears like certain defeat and you stand stronger than ever for your relationship with God, that's when people take notice. When you're thrown into the dungeon facing possible beatings or death and you begin to sing praises to God like Paul and Silas did, the jailer and his whole family had their eternal lives changed. When you don't hold back on your very public prayer, even though the government threatens to throw you into a lion's den, entire nations turn to God because of one guy in that dark battle. When you're told that you cannot defeat that giant that's in front of you, but instead you just run directly at it with all the skills that God has given you with faith, kingdoms, future kingdoms, and generations are saved and changed and formed. The success of future generations have many times been won by the darkest and hardest of battles. Realize this. Think about this. It is your attitude in the trenches that determine the path of your victory. Jesus said, don't take them out. Leave them there. Yeah, but the world's going to hate them. Yeah, and that's going to make them even better. Bring it. Okay, why all of this? Why? I have two scriptures for you. Verse 21, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus said that. Jesus said in verse 23, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Once again, like most passages of Scripture, we can consolidate it down into love. Love. If you're an atheist, if you've never been a Christian before, but you're not really an atheist, if you've been a Christian your whole life, if you're a backslidden, lukewarm Christian, God loves you. Regardless of what you've done yesterday or this morning, God loves you. It all comes down to love. Regardless of who you've been and how your life has been and how you were raised or anything else, God loves you. My last point here, right before Jesus went into this prayer, okay, this is about the prayer Jesus prayed in verse 17. Right before Jesus went into the prayer, he's with his disciples. The last thing he says, the last scripture in John 16, was this. Take note of this. Verse 33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. The King James says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Regardless of the tribulation, be of good cheer. Take courage. The world that you are in has been overcome. The one of whom you are now has been victorious already. You see, God knew that there would be hard times in your life. He knew that there would be dark days for you. And he says, hang on. Take courage. You're not alone. We're going to get through this. You're not part of this mess. You're only in it. You're not of it. You're not of, that bookmark is not of this book. It come out of the book. It's different. The same laws that go with this don't affect this like the laws affect the book. It's different. You've been made different, a new creation. You're in this world. And you're in it to show God's love. Okay? God, we thank you so much for your word. I can never say thank you enough for bringing me out of the world and adopting me into your family. And I know that I'm in the world and you want us to help us to to show your love to people. God, I'm so thankful that I am part of your family and my creation is different and I'm a new creation and new things have come. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross so that I could have my sins washed away and forgiven and just accept you and accept your adoption of my life and who I am. And I pray, God, that you would help each of us to show your love, to take this purpose that you've given, the purpose for the change, take it and help us to take that and go into the world and show everyone how much you love them. Show God's love in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. And if you're not a Christian and you would like to be, it'd be so awesome. I'd like for you to reach out to someone. If you don't know anyone here and don't want to reach out to someone here, find a church where you are and reach out to them and tell them. Tell people that you've made a decision for Christ. Believe in him. Accept him into your heart. Find a good church home somewhere. And if you are a Christian, I want to encourage you. During this time, I talk to a lot of people that seem down and depressed and things are so different and they don't get to see family and I get it. You know, God gets it too. God's big enough for our difficult questions. This stuff that we're going through, this tribulation. But I believe in this message, in this prayer, Jesus is saying, man, just hang on. We're going to get through this. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, there's going to be rough days. But it just might make you better. This might be a perfect opportunity for you to show the love of God. Now, I'm never going to admit that I think that God caused this or anything like this. But I will admit what the Bible says, that God can work through all things for our good. And through this, God will work for your good. Take courage. Be of good cheer. We're going to get through this. I mean, think about it. What's the worst that can happen? And it might actually turn out to be one of the best things that could happen. Either way, be of good cheer. Take courage. Show people God's love and realize that God loves you like crazy. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Truly, it is an honor. And I appreciate you being here. And I want to thank everybody on the team that makes all this possible. We're looking forward to having church again here in the building. And so we're going to some meetings about that this week, and we'll make a big announcement. But I do love you all. God loves you all very much. Take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere that you go.